What up, folks? Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show. Here on AM 1390 and WFIWFM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. A nice morning. Sun has been peeking around a little bit, not too much now. A little bit of rain earlier, too. It's about 49 degrees. I do have guests across the way. It is my normal monthly visit from Fairfield Police Chief Keith Cocklazier. Good morning, Keith. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Mr. Dickey. How are you today?
It'd be nicer if I turned your microphone on. Good morning, Keith. How are you this morning?
See, I was so professional saying Mr. Dickey. Trying to give you
respect. See, and we've lost that. That's been lost forever and ever. I got it, though. I understood the deep amount of respect you hold for me.
It is the holidays.
It is. You're being very thoughtful. And also joining us this morning, Fairfield Detective Justin Tinzer. How you doing, Justice? Need you to scoot about. Justin needs to go about 4 to 6 inches from the microphone. You ever been on the radio?
This is my first time, Bruce.
Really?
Yeah.
Looking forward to it?
You could say that.
When exactly? I got to know. I got to know because I was asking Keith a second ago when he was telling me that he was not feeling well, terrifically well. That's when he decided he was going to grab the first person he saw to bring out here. Did he grab you this morning or when did he tell you?
He grabbed me this morning. It was kind of a surprise.
Well, I'm glad you're both here. We've got all kinds of things going on in the community, and I know that folks are with bated breath at this. There's probably all kinds of folks wondering what this odd synthetic marijuana thing is. I don't know if you want to talk about that first. May as well. Tell me about this K2 epidemic that it seems to be hitting the community, Justin. Now, you were integral in recent investigations on that, weren't you?
Yes, sir, I was.
Let's pull that thing a little closer to you.
Yes, I was. I started conducting the investigation after a... After an overdose at Fairfield Community High School, I began the investigation at that point and had been looking into this K2. K2 has been being marketed as a synthetic cannabinoid, and it's nothing like a cannabinoid. In fact, it has nothing to do with cannabis at all. It's actually a synthetic drug completely, and the active ingredient in it is JWH. 001 is the original chemical makeup of K2.
I guess I'm a little confused then, Justin. Whenever folks try to sell it as synthetic marijuana, is it the same color as marijuana? I mean, does it even look like marijuana? Does it smell like marijuana?
It's actually potpourri.
Are you serious?
Yes, it's actually a potpourri type substance, and it is sprayed with the chemical makeup of K2 or JWH001, and they have so many chemical makeups now.
Really?
They're all the way up to JWH0201, I believe, all the way from 001.
Just different chemical compounds to do what? I mean, what's the point of the different chemical compounds?
The sole purpose is to ingest it to become intoxicated, or the effects of getting high, and it's marketed unfit for human consumption is how they legally get around selling it. But they know that it's bought and used for the explicit intent of becoming intoxicated.
All right, I got to know then. If it says on the label unfit for human consumption, what exactly is it meant for then? I mean, granted, I understand people are using it for human consumption and passing out and doing whatever bad things. What is it actually manufactured for?
It's manufactured specifically to become intoxicated. They only market it like that to
get around the law.
To get around the law, yeah.
I didn't know if there was actually legal particular chemical use for it. I guess is there any use for it at all?
I don't believe so.
Huh? When did this start appearing in Wayne County in Southern Illinois?
It actually started appearing in Southern Illinois in Wayne County. To my knowledge, we've been dealing with it for 3 to 4 years.
Really?
It's been around that long, and they've changed the chemical makeup so many times. Nobody really knows what's in the stuff.
No kidding.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Is it legal for for gas stations or something to sell in Illinois, or who sells this stuff?
Not in Illinois.
Where do people find it?
They usually find it out toward the Missouri line. Gas stations sell it, smoke shops sell it, and it is
in Missouri.
In Missouri, and some get away with selling it in Illinois, but they're few and far between. We used to have some here local, but to my knowledge, they've all been shut down.
It just boggles my mind that that folks would even consider. I guess why are kids are looking at this label and thinking that, oh, it's just like regular pot or something, and they can't find regular pot, but they think this might be legal, so it's okay to use. Is that what the mindset is behind it? Or?
Them marketing it as a synthetic cannabinoid, in my opinion, is a mistake because it's cannabis is a different animal than this, and this synthetic stuff's a lot more dangerous. But the reason why this appeals so much to kids is
why is that?
Well, there's not a test for it. There's not a drug test for it.
Oh, really?
No. And they think that they can get around having to take a drug test by using this synthetic drug, and it actually is very bad for you and has very adverse effects if you use even a small amount of it.
I was going to that's my other question, or one of the other questions, one of the questions we're going to have today was, how much are these kids ingesting whenever you hear in Sisney the other day, somebody drives up to their house, they've got three kids laying in the driveway. How much have these kids smoked? I presume they're smoking it?
Yes, that's the preferred method of ingestion. They're also putting it in their mouth like chewing tobacco as well.
Really?
it doesn't take much to become overdosed on it or incapacitated. Because the reason is whenever they spray it, you take the potpourri base, mm-hmm. and they'll spray it with the chemical. Well, they have no idea how much they're actually putting on it, so they have no idea how strong the batch is going to be. So every batch varies. You could get a weak batch, you could get a super strong batch, and then, you know, next thing you know, you're waking up in the emergency room.
Chief, you were talking, Keith, you were talking a little bit earlier about how the process that they use to... tell me a little bit about the process that folks use to treat this K2. I mean, it's just kind of scary.
Yeah, the rumor we've heard is the Raid bug spray. Sprayed on a metal screen, put a battery cathode on it to crystallize it, then sprinkle it over the potpourri, I guess you would, general term for it. Of course, you know, reminder, it's not stuff you go to Walmart and buy.
You mean the K2's not stuff,
right? You're not going to find that at Walmart or your local grocery store, sure, or something like that. People know what they're selling it for. It's usually behind the counter. You have to ask for it. So it's not something you just go in, oh, look, Pop Rocks, you know.
Yeah.
It's tucked away that way.
I got to tell you, I've seen it. I mean, I've gone into, like, convenience stores. I don't think they've been in Illinois, though. I think you might be right, Justin. But I've seen it, like, in a convenience store in Missouri. K2 here, you know, something like
There's
that.
There's a well-respected instructor that teaches us, comes through every once in a while, and he was buying in Seattle off street. Just signs on the business, come in, try our K2. We got the best in town. He would just go from door to door and buy it for his classes.
Really? Mm-hmm. Where's the name come from? Do you know? Any idea?
I don't believe anybody knows.
They just kind of, I was wondering, Formula K number 2 or something like that. Why would you name it after a mountain in India?
Your guess is as good as mine.
That's as high as you're going to go.
I guess that's right. there you go. We figured it out. I like that, Keith. Nice job. I've got Keith Cocklazer in here along with Justin Titzer. Tell me a little bit more, fellas, about the how much of it you're seeing. And is it really getting more and more out there, or are we beginning to get a handle on it?
I believe we're beginning to get a handle on it. It's not around as much as it was 3 to 4 years ago, and I think the kids and I think people are actually starting to get wary of it. They're starting to see that their friends are overdosing on it, and you know, people are getting hurt and could die. So I think it's slowing down.
You know, it kind of seems like meth labs, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. They were very prevalent. People would find them out just out in the farm ground or something like that. And then folks realized how bad it might be for you. Does it seem like that potentially to you, Keith?
Well, you got to remember during the big meth boom, I guess you would say, the early 2000s, you know, the legislation put a lot of penalties in there. Anytime you tamper with anhydrous, it just became more and more, I guess, troublesome for them to get.
Yeah.
Whereas this stuff, you can order on the internet, you can go to the gas station and get it, and probably not, you know, skirt the law a little bit. Trying to get ahead. Like I said, I don't think we'll ever be ahead of it. We're always a couple steps behind. But there is a decline. He's exactly right. I mean, people hear the stories. Well, I'm not going to try that. That's a little worse than I want to get.
It's just it's just crazy to me I guess even whenever K2 is gone, Justin, it'll probably be something else going to roll down the pike, isn't it?
Absolutely. It'll be replaced by something.
I'll be doggone. And I'm talking with Chief Keith Cocklazier of the Fairfield Police Department, along with Detective Justin Titzer. We're here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. We'll be back after these words. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. My name is Bruce Dickey. Joined this morning by Fairfield City Police Chief Keith Cocklazier, along with Fairfield Detective Justin Titzer. And let's get off the drugs. We'll do like we tell people to do. Get off drugs. Holidays are coming up. Folks occasionally leave their homes for a while, don't they, Chief? What do you suggest for people for folks who are traveling and maybe heading off to go to grandma's house and spend a week or two or something like that? What do you tell people? How do you help them get ready and try to make sure their house doesn't get like burglarized and squatted by somebody? Wouldn't that be awful?
That'd be horrible.
That would be terrifically bad. Say this hypothetical person.
May go on a trip.
Hypothetical person may be leaving sometime. You never know. What does hypothetical guy or gal need to do?
Well, you could speak with your friends and family. Have them sit at your house. That's one option. We've been known to do vacation checks, drive-by.
Do you really?
Yeah. Extra patrol. We get a lot of requests for that.
What? What if hypothetical guy lives in a neighborhood that already gets quite a bit of patrolling?
Should be all right. We may just hypothetical guy's house may, you know, we just may turn the other way on it, but we would check it out for you.
That's good.
Or for that guy. Sorry.
Well, yeah, for that guy. Well, you see, now that's the thing. Do folks need to get a timer or something for lights?
Yeah,
or
timer on lights. Idea? Stop and mail newspapers. That way they don't pile up on the sidewalk. just stop any, I mean, haven't, my family does it. We have relatives pick up the mail.
Yeah.
That way it doesn't overflow out of the box. Another big thing about the holidays is UPS. I've watched them do it around town. They don't even knock on doors anymore. They're so behind, they run up, throw the box, and leave.
Yeah.
So, you know, just be wary if you're ordering stuff. You may try to get in as soon as you can.
Well, you know, that's another thing that scares people. You'll see, Justin, you'll see folks will, there'll be stuff just on somebody's porch, and you never know if somebody's going to walk by and walk off with that.
Absolutely. We've had several incidents here within the last 6 months that's happened.
How difficult is that to, as a detective, how difficult is that to pursue and find a culprit, get that stopped?
It's pretty difficult if there aren't any witnesses, but to my experience, somebody always talks about something, and yeah, we're going to hear about it. So
that's probably the key to being a good detective. What, is that one of the keys to being a good detective, having good relationships with folks and being able to get people to open up?
Yeah, I think the most important thing in being a police officer or a detective is communication skills, being able to effectively communicate with people and getting on their level and speaking with them. I think that's very important.
How are you able to, in your job, how different is your job as a detective from whenever you were a patrolman?
It's not that different, honestly. I have more time to work. Now that I'm not doing patrol duties, I have more time to work cases.
Yeah.
And I can specifically target things that I want to target, and I have a lot more time to devote to certain cases and other things. It's actually kind of nice.
Is there anything, I know that radio tries to help out however we can. Is there anything that the media can do in addition to what media folks are already doing, maybe to help you guys find the folks? Like, for instance, I don't know if it was in the city or if it's in the county, but that the Vaughn burglary last week is just a huge deal, it looked like to me.
Absolutely.
What's the best thing that a general citizen can do to try to help bring those guys to justice?
Well, basically, you know, if you hear something or see something, say something. I mean, you might not want to get involved and think, oh, it's not my place, but you know, if you put yourself in that in the other person's shoes, it could be you next time.
Yeah.
So, but I think putting things on Facebook and the radio, I think you guys are doing a really good job at getting it across to the community and bringing it to a wider base. I think that's great.
I wasn't just fishing for a compliment, but I'll take that.
Well, I'm going to give you one.
That was smooth.
That was smooth, wasn't it? Just like I did that was pretty impressive. That's right, nice. There. What do we know that we haven't heard in the news media? What can you tell us about, for instance, that Vaughn robbery that might help get it solved? Because, I mean, do I need to be looking for new tires somewhere?
Yeah. Basically, it was some very specific things that were stolen from Vaughn's Tire. You can't tell. I'm not going to get too far into it, but the things that were stolen were used for very specific things and fit the description that very specific people would be using. So,
really? So what do you do? Do you contact pawn shops for like somebody maybe looking to sell that equipment, or do you contact maybe other do you make sure that other tire shops in Southern Illinois know that this equipment is in particular is gone?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Pawn shops are one of the first places we look. And yeah, we would contact tire shops and other things like that.
Are some of the equipment that's being I'm still talking about that one in particular, and I'll get off of that soon. Some of the stuff that is being taken, you don't expect them to try to like just take it for the metal content, do you? I mean, I guess you got to talk to the metal people too, don't you?
Yeah, we would talk to the scrapyard. This stuff that was taken in particular, I wouldn't think would be scrapped out. It's actually pretty expensive and pretty useful equipment. They'll probably use it for personal use or try to sell it to a third party.
Huh. I wonder. Wonder how far will it get? I mean, how far will somebody try to sell something? I guess they can go on eBay and try to sell something all over the place, can't you?
Absolutely. And we've had a few years back, we were having problems with it was probably 5 to 10. We had a group of people from Arizona that were just stealing everywhere. All over the local area, Wayne, White, Hamilton.
From Franklin Arizona. County.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were just making trips in?
Yeah, they were just traveling around and victimizing people and stealing what they could and selling it.
Were they taking it back to Arizona to sell?
You know, I don't know where they were selling it at, but they were from there and just hitting everywhere in the local area.
That's the tricky part to me, Keith. I mean, you guys keep an eye on the computer arena as well, don't you?
Absolutely.
Justin, are you guys keeping an eye on eBay and Craigslist for this kind of thing to come up? Do you have notices?
Well, we don't have notices per se. Technology is advancing so fast, though. But yeah, if you're on Facebook or Trading Page or Craigslist, and that deal's just too good to be true. We had a recent one here, a four-wheeler in town.
Yeah.
That ended up being from over in the Metro East area, I believe. So it travels pretty fast.
What'd they try to do? They just sold the four-wheeler here in town? Hey, there's a great big old mule side-by-side. You have it for yours for $250.
Yeah. unfortunately, it was a little more in-depth. We assisted with it. Gentleman got on false pretenses, sold it to a local citizen. And then,
oh, boy.
So
see, now that's the bad thing there, too, because the local citizen is – they're embroiled, aren't they?
Yeah, they're on the hook. They've Absolutely. Lost their money. Then they have to go through the lengthy civil claims and attempt to get that money back.
From whom? Who are they going to get the money back from? From the thief?
Yep.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
really.
Sometimes they don't have deep pockets.
Yeah. Sometimes the money's as well hidden as the side by side, I presume. No, that's just crazy. What? Now we talk all over and over, but I guess it's not. It's you can't say it enough. What are the best ways to prevent this kind of burglary? I presume, I don't know, did Vaughn have cameras? And if you don't want to talk about them in particular, is it best to have surveillance cameras on site, or are you seeing more and more of that, Justin?
Absolutely. Surveillance cameras are a good way to go. They're going to deter most people.
Yeah.
The more hardened people are going to come in and steal it anyway, but at least the...
Not even care about the camera.
No, they don't care. But it's going to help us catch them.
That's what surprises me whenever I look in a Post-Dispatch, say. I'll be reading the St. Louis paper. And just it seems like every other day they've got a picture of some dude robbing a bank.
Absolutely.
And a great picture of him. I mean, what are these guys thinking?
I think most of them aren't thinking. And in a bigger area with more population, you know, the chances of somebody knowing you are not as good. The cameras are going to deter a lot. If you can't afford cameras, motion lights help a lot because, you know, motion lights will deter somebody whenever it clicks on. Keep all your things locked.
Keith mentions that from time to time.
Absolutely.
It seems like most of the people who get their cars broken into, it's just the case of they didn't lock it up.
Yeah, it's a target of opportunity. We have people that just roam through neighborhoods looking for unlocked vehicles.
Really?
And they will steal from your unlocked vehicle, so always lock your vehicle up.
Huh. See, now you're gonna think hypothetical guy's silly because he parks and just leaves it running.
I should probably take my own advice, too.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I hear this kind of advice all the time, and I'll leave my car running from time to time. It is locked up outside. Nobody could come up here and get anything right now.
We checked that when we came in.
Did you check that? Yeah. I appreciate you.
I always check. I'm always
hand me the keys. I appreciate it.
Pretty nice.
But you know, thanks. But you know, it's something that people don't even think about and until it's drilled into their heads to think about. Just like seatbelts.
Absolutely.
I mean, it took years for folks to begin to use seatbelts just religiously whenever they hop in the car. And that's because that little bell started beeping at them every time they got in the car, right?
That's annoying. It's annoying.
That's exactly right. How do you shut up the bell?
I don't know, but I want to figure it out.
The way you shut up the bell is put the seatbelt on.
Yeah. Without putting the seatbelt on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you, there are some vehicles that let you do that, but I digress. talking here with Chief Cocklazer and as well as Detective Justin Titzer. Justin, you've been on the Fairfield Police Force now how long?
About 5 years. Yeah.
And you've been at the were you working for the county or were you working for corrections?
Wayne County Sheriff's Department correctional officer for 2 years prior to that.
What do you enjoy most? What's the most enjoyable part of your day?
Most enjoyable part of my day. Talking to that one person that you help out and is, you know, tells you, hey, I appreciate that. You've done a good job. You know?
Yeah.
How often
do you get that?
Actually, quite a bit, to be honest with you.
Is that right?
There's a lot of bad press and bad media about police officers right now. But to be honest with you, you know, most of us are just here to try to do a good thing for the community and help people out, you know.
I got to tell you, that must be pretty fulfilling for you, isn't it, whenever
it absolutely is, yes. Yes.
Huh. When Christmas time comes, it's Christmas coming up. Do you go to the schools and help the kids or try to, do you do some of that? I know you've got DARE people as well.
Yeah, we
used
do.
To have,
we do shop with a cop sometimes. I don't think we did it. Did we do it last year?
No.
It's where we take some local kids and we take them to Walmart or take them out and shop and buy them things.
Oh, that's nice.
I know some officers actually, they actually put, you know, bags of groceries on people's doorsteps. And they, you know, they don't want any recognition for it, so of course they're not going to knock on the door or tell anybody they're doing it. But I know that goes on.
Yeah. You know, Keith, that's the thing. You guys do a lot of things underneath the radar, I guess, to an extent, then, don't you?
Yeah, it's not always the negative press. Somebody getting arrested, unfortunately, that leads a lot of news stories. You know, we do live here also. It's we're part of the community, and we try to help out best we can.
Are you? Do you kick up the patrols on Christmas Eve just to make sure you see Santa Claus?
In an effort, we got NORAD tracking.
That's right, you've got NORAD tracking.
Right. So, we increase.
Do you get to see Santa Claus ever? Probably see a lot of people.
We have a Santa Claus. We do have a Santa Claus.
Well, of course we do. Of course we do.
Well, our Santa
we have
Claus
a local representative
is known as, he might be a dispatcher, a local dispatcher.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to hear more about that, to tell you the truth. I'm talking with Keith Cocklaser and Justin Titzer. We're just hashing things out, talking about what's going on with the Fairfield City Police Force. We'll talk a little bit more with Justin and Keith when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 WFIW-FM Fairfield. Back in a sec.
Recognize your face, haunting, familiar, yeah. I can't seem to place it. Cannot find the candle of thought to light your name. Lifetimes are catching up with me. 40s changes take place. I wish I'd seen the place, but no one's ever taken me. Hearts and thoughts, they fade away. Hearts and thoughts, they fade. On the shelf, I changed by not changing at all. Small town predicts my fate. Perhaps that's what no one wants to see. I just wanna scream hello. Now here you are, and here
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Bruce Dickey here. I've got Fairfield Police Chief Keith Cocklaser ailing on the other side, so he brought in a little bit of assistance for it. And I'm glad you did, because I haven't talked with Justin in a work capacity or much at all over my entire life. Hey, Justin, you're doing a great job. You enjoying your first time on the radio?
Yeah, I absolutely am. I was nervous at first, but yeah. Now I'm not.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Justin, of course, most of you, or maybe you don't know, is a decorated veteran of the armed services. Marines, I presume, right?
Yes, sir.
A decorated Marine veteran. How many tours did you serve in the Marines?
I did 3 deployments to Iraq and then 1 deployment in Operation Enduring Freedom, which was spent in Kuwait.
Oh, okay. Enduring Freedom, that's the one that's still going on, right?
Yeah, that was originally the Afghanistan deployment and the original global war on terrorism.
Okay, back in 01 that started.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
You've been, you haven't, when did you retire from the Corps?
I got out of the Marine Corps in 2006 and then did a couple more years in the Marine Corps Reserve, 2010.
Tell me a little bit about deployments. I talk to the occasional folks. I don't want to hear about your combat stories. I mean, because those may or may not be difficult. Whenever folks talk about coming over and visiting people deploying, you know, you'll see football players go over musicians and stuff, or comedians go over. Did you ever have anybody come over to visit your groups while you were deployed?
Yeah, I had a few people. I met Arlie Ermey one time.
Oh, really?
The drill instructor in Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
And,
he's been in all kinds of different
movies. Yeah, he's a really cool guy.
Was a Marine too, wasn't he?
Absolutely, yes. He was got out as a sergeant, and the Marine Corps meritoriously promoted him to staff sergeant, meritoriously promoted him to gunnery sergeant after Full Metal Jacket because recruiting spiked after that movie.
Did it really?
It really did.
Wow. I got to tell you, you know, that movie could be looked at 2 different ways.
Absolutely.
Justin, it could be looked at as, hey, go, go, go. Also, stay away, stay away, stay away from the Marines.
It could definitely be looked at as a caution.
Yeah. As a cautionary tale, that's exactly right. So you met, how did you meet him?
He came and visited during my first deployment. He just showed up. And he talked to us and hung out a little bit. He's a really cool guy, really, really nice guy.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, I guess being a retired fellow like that, he could probably have in and out access to that kind of area,
yeah.
Couldn't he?
Absolutely.
What TV or movie stars or stuff? Did you meet any big stars?
I didn't really meet any big stars. I met Oliver North.
Oliver North,
Fox News, personally one time.
Really?
Yep.
Tell me about Oliver North. Tell me how you first saw him.
I first saw Oliver North in Ramadi. Ramadi, Iraq. It's the provincial capital of the Al-Anbar province of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
At the government center where the governor was. I was standing post in charge of security there. And Oliver North came up to my my post.
Okay.
And a post is where you sit. It's a sandbag position where you sit and you watch a certain area and make sure nobody's putting in IEDs. Basically, you just get shot at and watch
things.
Well, Oliver North showed up, and an Army convoy just got hit right in front of us, and they'd ran over an IED.
So you're at full readiness.
Yeah, full readiness. This Army convoy had a fuel truck. And the fuel truck got hit, and it blew up, and it was a huge fireball. Absolutely huge. Actually, both soldiers got out, thankfully. But at that point, they got ambushed, and I was sitting in an elevated position providing suppressive fire. And
So you're at the gun.
I'm at the gun in full combat, and I look over my shoulder, and Oliver North is there. Oliver North is standing to my right.
At this point, he's no longer a Marine. Well, he's a Marine for life, I guess. But he's no longer in current service.
Yeah, he was a combat journalist, news correspondent for Fox News at the time. And before this, before the shooting back started at us, his cameraman was an Australian guy.
Yeah,
and we started hearing pops and snaps, and we know that is the sound of incoming rounds breaking the sound barriers that go by your head and over your head. Well, he asked, "What is that?" And we're like, we're getting shot at, you idiot. Get down.
Get down. It's time to drop.
So Oliver North filmed this whole firefight, and I actually made it into a loop on Fox News.
No kidding.
Yeah, and he'd done a small interview.
Yeah.
But he was a real good guy. He was a real good guy.
Did you get a chance to talk to him personally outside of the interview?
Yeah, I did. I actually got a pretty cool story about that. I chew tobacco. It's a nasty habit, and I probably need to quit, but...
Well, you're not doing it right now.
Well, not right now, fortunately.
I appreciate that. I don't care.
You know, I was talking to him, and I pulled out a can of Skoal. Well, okay. It was... And the Skoal you get in Iraq has formaldehyde in it to keep it...
Because now, is it made in the USA, but it's going to be shipped for a long period of time?
Yeah, I think
they don't know what time frame it's going to get to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's absolutely terrible, but, you know, in a pinch, you know.
Well, a pinch. So I took it
out. Yeah, absolutely. So I took it out, and Oliver North said, "Hey, you want some stateside Copenhagen?" I was like, "Well, yes, sir, I do."
And well, he handed absolutely. It's like he's handing you a beer.
Yeah, he handed me the can, so I took a dip out of it. And he's like, "By the way, you can keep that, son." He's like, but I want that can." So I traded in my nasty formaldehyde Iraq chew for a can of stateside Copenhagen.
Did he sign the can?
No, I didn't have him sign the can. We had more pressing
issues.
You were
a little busy at the time, yeah, weren't you? I bet.
A little bit more pressing issues.
What do you think he did with the Skoal?
You know, I don't know. I hope he didn't chew it. It's terrible.
Well, you didn't ask. I guess you didn't ask him about Nicaragua or anything like that.
Nah, I
Contras,
sore subject.
That's probably a little. You know, he might not have talked real all that thoroughly. Well, that's pretty wild. So how many years did you end up serving total?
I ended up serving. I'm actually currently serving. I've been in for a total of 10 years now.
Really?
Actually went over to the dark side and reenlisted into the Army about 3 years ago.
Oh no!
Yeah, absolutely.
What do the other jarheads think about that? Is jarhead a bad term?
No, we don't care.
You're not gonna like come across the table at me if I call you a jarhead.
Just don't call us late for dinner. We're
okay.
You know, they were cool with it. They gave me, of course, they ribbed me a little bit, and there was a little back and forth, but they understood.
What differences do you see between the two organizations? I'm
assuming
a wide gulf.
You know, I'm not going to lie. The Marine Corps is like a cult.
Really?
Well, I mean, they're just a cult-like following.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, the esprit de corps is there. And everybody, you know, we celebrate the Marine Corps birthday. And the Army celebrates the Army birthday as well. But
right,
we're a little bit more cult-like than the Army. But the Army's good. They got a lot of educational opportunities. And they have a lot of things that the Marine Corps don't have.
So. Well, that's I got to tell you, Tom Levine came in here and did it as well, but we all appreciate all the service that you folks do for us.
I mean,
appreciate that's for
that.
Sure.
Do you get
the sense when you come back from the tours that your service is appreciated? I mean, we'll see in the movies a lot of folks don't, and on television, and I don't know what your particular what's your particular take?
Absolutely. Everybody, you know, you meet your few people that don't, but, you know, we get off the plane. When I got off the plane in Bangor, Maine, back in the United States, you know, there were old ladies and you know, coming up and hugging you,
yeah,
old men, combat vets, you know, young people come, you know, "Hey, do you use my cell phone," giving you their personal cell phone, "call your family, tell them you're home."
No kidding.
You know, and you know, it's...
How do they set up one of those deals? Do they ever try to set up one of those deals when you've come back and, like, you go out wearing the catcher's mask and take your mask off and scare your wife or something like
that? No, we that was a relatively new thing. We never really done that stuff.
Well, I, again, on behalf of everybody I'm sure listening, we certainly appreciate your service, your former service to the country and continued service to the country.
My pleasure.
Keith, what's the final words you can give us about with the holidays coming up? Anything you can, other than we talked about the synthetic drugs, stay the heck away from that, right?
Yep, we're on the final stretch here of the 2015 year. Won't be back for the new year, so.
Sometime.
Well, we'll be back, but so I wish everybody a happy new year. Going to get cold this weekend, so give it a little extra time, get that window clean before you take off. That way you don't hit anybody. Stay calm in the shopping.
Did you have any problems?
Pretty smooth.
It went pretty smooth. Because the last time we talked, last time you were here, we were talking about Black Friday was like 3 days away.
That's correct.
So, you know, you did see the occasional shop fight, let's call it, on television.
We were good in town. Our holiday season at the police department has been a little different this year. We've had a pursuit.
Like I said, it hasn't been boring, has it?
Well, we've had a pursuit, vehicle pursuit, foot pursuit. Unfortunately, we had a shooting in the county. It's an interesting holiday.
That's an interesting way to go. Well, thanks very much, Keith, for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Justin, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Wonderful to meet and talk to you in a longer setting. Gentlemen, thanks very much. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. We'll talk to y'all again tomorrow.